Okay. We're working on some mic issues, but I think we may have it. If somebody in here that, when I'm speaking, if they can't hear me well, let me know. I don't mind being too loud, but I definitely want you to be able to hear me. I want you to think for a second. We've got some, we've got a broad range of age groups in here this morning, so I want you to think for a second. Let's think of one thing that has changed everything in our lives. I mean, I can think, I had a little time to prepare, so I'm not going to say. One thing in Mr. Fred's life, or Charlie's life, that has changed, or in Jimmy's life, that has changed everything. Anybody got any ideas?
Huh? I accepted Christ when I was 10. But I was 20-something before I realized what I had done.
Cool. I love that. I like that. Okay. Now we got the religion off the page.
Moved to Tennessee.
Huh? Moved to Tennessee. Changed everything. What do you think about that, Trish? Okay. They just moved from Maryland. He came and put an air conditioner in for me and said, I like this place I'm staying. I said, ooh. Joe. Perfect. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Joe said, the internet. Smartphone changed my life. Not everybody has them. Not everybody wants them. That's okay. But it changed my life. I was thinking this week as I was preparing my message. I was thinking about the old Puritan preachers that had to ride around on, or walk, or ride around on horseback to get from point A to point B, maybe doing a couple services on a Sunday, how they didn't have what I had. They didn't have the resources that I can. Everything I have is voice activated now. Billy told me how I can talk into my computer. I didn't realize I could dictate to my computer. And man, I can spell now. I can. It's amazing. Now my Eastern Shore lingo, we're still working through that. I'm not from here. But that changed everything. This morning, that's what I want to talk about. Something that changed everything. I'm going to do something different. Because I've really been, struggling with what I'm going to preach on every Sunday. I'm not used to this. I'm used to doing it once every couple months, or once a month at prison, or once a week at the county jail. And that's not really a service. That's more of a legal aid type situation that we're going in alongside these men, so if they get out, they have a place to go. So now, I have to come up with, and you know, I'm in the Word, and I'm praying every day, and I'm thinking, God, okay, what are you going to give me? What are you going to give me? What are you gonna, I'm waiting, Lord. And I have all these messages prepared, and I keep preparing them, and okay, so I said, I'm going to change up. And I'm going to go to my favorite book in the Bible, the one that I've read the most, the one that speaks to me the most, the one that's different than all the other books in the New Testament. Anybody got an idea what that is?
James.
The book of James. 5 chapters. That is totally amazing. I love his frankness. I love his mix of law and grace. You know, Paul and all those guys from up, you know, north there, they were big into the grace message. And all those boys left back in Jerusalem, they were big into the law message. And we have this idea they didn't get along. I don't believe that based on my research this week, I believe they did. But there was a difference in the message. So I'm going to start a series this morning on the book of James. So don't miss it. It will go on for a couple years. There's only 5 chapters. And this morning, I'm going to dive deep. I'm going to cover all of the first verse. The very first verse. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of James. It's not the easiest book to find. It's back there toward the back. And it's not many pages. But if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading, and I study most of the time out of the Christian Standard Bible. I have many at my disposal, many at my, you know, on my computer, my smartphone that we talked about. But I carry the Christian Standard Bible, so I usually quote out of it or read out of it. Okay, we're in the first chapter of the first verse in the book of James. James, a servant of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, greetings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this book. I thank you for the Bible, Lord. And I ask that you speak through me this morning, that your word comes forth, Father, that we can unwrap this book as we go forward, Lord. And I need your help. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I have a quote. I like quotes. I got quote apps on my phone and stuff. And I like quotes. I'd like to start my own quotes, but most of them are taken. This quote I'm going to read is by, it's a short one, by Steve Lawson. Anybody ever heard of Steve Lawson? Steve Lawson is a professor of preaching at the Master's Seminary in California, but he's also the pastor of one of the largest churches in the United States in Dallas, Texas. If you want to go on YouTube and really see a Presbyterian-style preacher, look up Steve Lawson, L-A-W-S-O-N. I've been listening to him for years. I found him through R.C. Sproul. Amazing man. I've done several of his studies in prison. He says, if Jesus Christ has not changed your life, you haven't met the risen Lord. Let me say that again. If Jesus Christ hasn't changed your life, you haven't met the risen Lord. He's not talking about showing up on Sunday morning. That's part of it. That's a big part of it. We're to fellowship. As we go into the book of James, James is going to explain to us, or going to show us, something I had no idea of when he found the risen Lord, how that changed him. Back to the verse. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, greetings. A servant of God, I looked that up in the ancient Greek. That word's not what we think it is. That word's not, okay, I'm serving God. Okay, I play the piano. I sing. Val, your testimony was amazing. Anybody feel the Spirit when Val testified? Whew, that was deep. Okay, but thank you.
You're welcome.
I love her. What he's talking about here is he is a slave. That word in the ancient Greek is he is a slave to Jesus Christ. Now, we use the word servant, and that kind of waters it down. And it gets better. It gets better. And he's also talking to the 12 tribes that were dispersed abroad. We're talking about the dispersia. After the crucifixion in 33 AD, the Roman Emperor Titus had moved in several years later, and the Jewish people were trying to revolt, and he blockaded the city of Jerusalem. So when James wrote his book, it was just a few short years from them starving to death. Over 1 million people lost their lives in the city of Jerusalem. It got so bad that they were eating their babies. When you go into the Jewish literature and you start picking this stuff out, and we read over this book that we have, and we read the words on the page, we don't get all that. It was bad times, folks. What we see going on in Israel right now don't hold a candle to what happened during the dispersia. So here James is writing to these people that are going throughout the world, to Jewish Christians. They're spreading the good news of the gospel, while back at home, they're starving to death. We don't get that just by reading that first verse. It says it there in the first verse, but we don't get that. It's James grew up with three other brothers in the same household as Jesus Christ. James didn't believe in Jesus. He didn't have any skin in the game. He had heard about some of this stuff that was going on. He'd actually seen a little bit of it. He wasn't buying it. Didn't make any sense. He watched his mother and his close family being ridiculed about this so-called Son of God. Imagine that. Imagine, you know, I'm the oldest brother in my family. Imagine my little brother Roger, and I'm saying I'm the Son of God. I don't believe I can convince him of it. Leona's shaking her head. I think she's getting ready to testify. Be careful. You know, I don't think I could. But imagine it be your brother. You grew up with this. I don't think they talk too much about the difference between the other brothers and the two sisters, about not being of the same lineage. I don't think Mary and Joseph talked about the Immaculate Conception of Christ. They were brothers. Although we know they were half-brothers because there's a big difference. So, James didn't buy it. He didn't buy it. He had seen it. What he got from the crucifixion was it ruined the family name and he was embarrassed. Never thought about it like that, Jimmy. He was embarrassed. Like this so-called Messiah come to save his people. They're getting ready to take him down off that cross and put him in the ground. He's dead. Graveyard dead. They're going to bury him. He ruined the family name. Everybody knew by that time Mary and the family because of that one outlaw son they had that was going around claiming to do these mighty works of God, his father. James didn't buy it. So, got to turn the page. I'm going to turn over to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to see one of the most interesting accounts of the post-resurrection. I'd read over this several times. I'd read this verse in Corinthians. Corinthians 15 basically deals with the resurrected Christ. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. Today we'd be writing to the church in Las Vegas. It was heinous. It was dirty. It was mean. It was doing all the stuff that all of us people don't agree with. All of us church folks don't agree with. Paul was there. And this is the same message Paul wrote and used at many of the churches, house churches that he had planted. So I'm going to start in chapter 15, verse 1. So now I want to make clear to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved. I could preach a whole long time on that three words, on which you are being saved. If you hold to the message I preach to you, unless you believe in vain, for I have passed on to you the most important part that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. And then he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to Scripture. And then he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Oh, here's where it gets good. I never had no idea what it was talking about in these next phrase. Maybe a lot of you guys know your Bible better than I do, but I had no idea. Then he appeared to James, his brother. We know this by one James had already been martyred, and the other two Jameses in the New Testament had went off into obscurity. He appeared to James. Then to all the apostles. Last of all, to the one that was born at the wrong time, he also appeared to me. Paul's saying, I wasn't born at the right time. I wasn't able to see all the stuff that these apostles saw, but I'm in the game. I'm not sitting up in the stands with my jersey on at an Alabama game with an Alabama jersey on. I'm down on the field with my shoulder pads on. I'm in the game. I'm sorry, Ken. I'm in the game. There's a difference between wearing a jersey up in the stands and being down on the gridiron. There's a difference. You can hear it. You can smell it. I think what we've done, church, and I'm guilty. I'm preaching to me. I've got that spectator jersey on more than I should have. I want to watch the game. As long as it don't go too long. And the preacher don't get too loud. And start talking about all this crazy stuff the preachers talk about. I'm going to put that jersey on. But coach, I don't want to put that game jersey on. I may have to get in the game. Folks, that's what the world is looking for. We're looking for people in the game. Then he appeared to James. Oh my goodness. Now what do you think that was about? Here's Jesus, hung on the cross, put in a tomb. Whole time little brother James would say, nah. Told you so. Told Jude. Told little brother Jude. I told you. Boy, crazy. Told you he wasn't no Messiah. Told you wasn't nothing to this thing. This way that we're talking about. Wasn't nothing to it. Told you. Then all of a sudden he rounds a corner. And there stands Jesus. More alive than he's ever been. How in the world did he come up out of that ground? How in the world? What was that conversation about? You don't tell us in the Bible. There's no record of it. It just says it happened. He called for James. Man, Jesus has called me, folks. And he's called you. He's called you to get in the game. I read this week that the most effective way to evangelize currently is to invite somebody to a Bible-believing church. It's not the billboard on the interstate. It's not your social media page, which we need. It's not the website, which we need. I'm not discounting that. But how many people this week, you don't have to raise your hand, I don't embarrass all of you, invited somebody to church this morning? There you go. There you go. I like that. I did. Okay. That's a start. I thank you, every one of you, for coming. I do. It means a lot. Jimmy's got to leave here and drive 10 hours back to Maryland today. Yeah. And that's terrible. But I thank you for coming. I thank you. When James realized that his brother had come out of that ground, when he realized that he was alive, he saw him dead. He knew that he was dead. His mama was in bad shape. His sisters, all the people around him were scattered. They were running to and fro. They didn't know what to go. And then he arose. This has been a good Easter message. He arose. That transformed the Christian church in Jerusalem. History tells us that that doubting brother of Jesus went on to pastor the church in Jerusalem. Now don't forget, I told you, In the beginning, they were starving to death. He went on to pastor that church. He was so filled with the Holy Spirit at that time in his life that even the Jews that didn't believe in Christianity revered him because of his holiness. He spent so much time in the temple, he had a nickname. Anybody know what James's nickname was? Man, Sunday's going like it used to be. Old camel knees. He spent so much time on his knees were calloused like a camel's hoof. This is the same guy that didn't believe in him. This is the same guy that grew up in the same household. Same guy that worked in the carpenter shop with his older brother. Same guy that thought he was crazy. When he realized who the risen Christ was. When he realized that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh my goodness, you got to get this. It preaches real good in prison. That same Jesus Christ that raised, that same Holy Spirit, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He took that garment off and he folded it nice and neat. He said, I'm coming back. I ain't done here. This table ain't finished. I'm coming back. That same power. That same power that fell at Pentecost. And they were speaking in unknown languages to people during the festival of Pentecost. And people could understand it. And thousands of people came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ through Peter that had just days before that had said, I don't know the man. I don't know who he is. I told you I don't know him. Quit asking me about it. He didn't say it that well. He used a few words. I bet he cussed like a fisherman. I grew up around fishermen. Val and I grew up around fishermen. Jimmy grew up around fishermen. They rough. I bet he cussed like a fisherman. I don't know him. That same Peter. Folks, we get this. It don't matter what happens on Fox News. It don't matter what happens on CNN. It don't matter what happens with the donkey and the elephant. It don't have a bit of nothing to do with us. Because this world is not our home. We're here just for a short time. And we got a price to pay. It's not always going to be prosperity. It's not always going to be roses. We're not always going to be on a cruise ship. This cruise ship may turn into a battleship like I talked about last week. But if it turns into a battleship, this battleship called Walnut Grove, if I've got anything to do with it, it's going to be prepared for the storm. When we see that cloud out there, we're going to be able to go through that. So we're not going to drop anchor and hold our position. Time is short. Oh, I want that, folks. I want it for me. I want it for me. I want it for each one of you. So what's that mean for Walnut Grove this morning? What's that mean? How does the truth of the resurrected Christ affect what we do here at Walnut Grove? I've already touched on this, but Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. What? No way. Who really gets that? The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. That life He's talking about is not so we can breathe, not so that we can go to the buffet after church or to the Mexican restaurant after church. That's not what it's talking about. So we can be a part of the fellowship, a part of the ecclesia, a part of the rescue squad. Huh? The part of the people that are positioned at the foot of hell, the gates of hell, and saying, no, let me tell you about my risen Christ. Let me tell you about this guy, Jesus. Let me tell you about him, because you need to hear him. The church has turned this thing into, the church in the Americas has turned this thing into a prosperity gospel. I don't read that anywhere in here. I don't read where it was all roses and teacups. I read no matter come hell or high water, come starvation or plenty. Once you get the risen Christ, you're going to go forward. You're going to tell everybody about Him. You're going to be, and if you don't know how to do it, I'll try to help. I got my little thing. You know, I do. I got my little thing. I'm telling people about Jesus. But we got to figure that out. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I love Paul. I do, man. I mean, his writings are so, it's amazing. But he says, my goal is to know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to death. Who in here is willing to die this morning? Oh, man. Some of us are so close to it naturally, we don't even want to think about it. I get it. It ain't. It's not a feel-good thing. And some of us younger folks, some of us younger folks may be closer than some of us older. We don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is once you see the risen Savior, you're ready to lay down this life for the work of the ministry, for the propagation of the gospel. Man, that excites me. I got excited yesterday when the Bulldogs, Georgia's got a team, football team. I don't know if any of you know it, but Georgia just absolutely went into Knoxville, and I mean they beat up. It didn't start out that way. The Volunteers went right out there, man, and got a touchdown first couple plays. 7-0. That was it. Yeah, that kind of thing gets us excited. I was excited watching that game because I'm a Bulldogs fan. I can't stand Alabama. I was a Bulldogs fan. I had to root against somebody. I got tired of winning. But we got to die to ourselves. We got to die to, is it convenient to go across the street here, this new house? And hey, we're having church over here. Come on over. Can you sing? Just throwing that out there, Val. Yeah. Can you sing? I mean, really? Go across the street. If we get this, we'll change this community. We'll change this church. We're going to have little people sitting around here and making noises and stuff, and it's going to be inconvenient. It's going to be messy. I love it. Where'd your girls go?
We set them downstairs. Oh,
my goodness. That's okay.
They said they'd have more fun down there.
Nah. Yeah. Once we come to the full knowledge of the resurrection of Christ, we're going to go into this book, and I hope next week I can get past the second verse. But we need to, I've got a new logo for the church. I don't know if anybody's seen it. I hadn't had it approved or anything. I mean, it's okay. It's not set in stone. We're not going to print out any coins or anything with it yet. But it's a tree. Walnut Grove. I figured, well, it's a tree. And it's not my idea. I took it from the Methodist Church on Kent Island. I already got busted for that.
Yeah, did you really?
I did. We used to go to a Spirit-filled Methodist church on Kent Island, Maryland, and a good friend of mine pastored that church for a long time. He's now gone on down the road. I wouldn't have used it if he was still there because he would have busted me. But it's this big tree, Walnut Grove. The reason that church uses it, they had a big tree that they had to cut down because it aged out. But anyhow, it says grow up, grow deep, and grow out. I like that. Not mine. Thank you, Dave. So, grow up in our faith, maturing in the likeness of Christ. Jesus was right all along. It was James that couldn't see it. How many of us are sitting here today that just don't quite get it yet? Oh, I'm not talking about your salvation. This is not a salvation. It could be, but it's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about that little boost, that little nitrous oxide that you put on your race car to get you going down the strip a little faster. I'm talking about that little boost. It's called the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about that additive that Christ said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send somebody. And once you get this, and I don't believe it's about squirming around on the floor and running around, hurting yourself, screaming, hollering, acting crazy. I grew up in a charismatic church. I seem to get crazy. I mean, crazy. What I think it is, it gives us the boldness and the power that when we're working alongside of somebody, we can tell them about Jesus. We can tell them about our church. We can tell them about our fellowship. That great men's fellowship that we don't have, we're going to get. That great women's fellowship that we don't have, but we're going to get. That great youth program we don't have yet, but we're going to get. We can tell them about that. When one of your friends get that bad report, oh, it don't look good. Doctor called me back. Blood's all messed up. Oh, come on, let me pray for you. Let me anoint you with oil. Let me call for the elders of the church. That's what we're used to, brother. We're used to people laying hands on people and praying the prayer of health and healing over people. That's the risen Christ I'm talking about. Who's in it with me? Who wants that? Who? It? Or is that just a little too... Just a little too... I like wearing my jersey in the stands. I thought that was a pretty good analogy. I just come up with that. I like wearing that. I like putting on that Alabama jersey and riding down to Atlanta and, you know, watching them boys play, you know. I hope they don't, you know, no way they're going to ever get me in the game. I'm ready to get in the game. I'm ready to get in the game, folks. We're going to grow. We already see it. We're going to grow. Up to mature like, to mature into the likeness of Christ. We're going to grow deep in our understanding of God's Word, allowing it to take root in our hearts. We're going to grow in this. I'm growing in this. If nothing happens that I can physically see with my eyes, I told Val this morning, it's amazing how blessed I feel to be able to do this. And I'm not qualified. Nobody is. That's right, brother. Nobody is. Nobody. But if you're called, I'm excited. I'm excited. It's time to put the excitement back into this. Grow deep in the Word. Grow out. If we don't grow out, we ain't going to be here. That's just long and short of it. If we don't invite people, if we don't believe in the resurrected Christ that gives the power to do this, and you just come in because it's cultural. You know, I was blessed to grow up on the Eastern Shore of Maryland where church wasn't cultural. Your grandparents didn't go to church. They sat underneath the tree and got drunk on Sunday morning. It wasn't a cultural thing. If you went to church in Maryland, you went to church because the Lord had changed your life, had called you. You didn't go because you're... Neither one of my grandparents went to church on either side. It wasn't cultural. Thank God I had a Christian mom and dad. And they were sold out. I mean, they were crazy. My dad, if he lived here in this holler, he'd beat on every door every week. And when he told him not to come back, oh man, that's all right, I'll be back. He's a big guy. I mean, he wasn't worried about getting beat up. You know, he would do it. That's infectious, folks. We got the best news in town. We got the only good news in town. We got the gospel. We're going to grow out. That's my prayer for this church. That's my prayer for each one of you sitting here. In conclusion, if you're praying for revival for our church, and I think some of you are, I think a lot of you probably are, pray that it starts with you. Don't pray that just because we fill the building up, we're going to be any different than any other full building in the country. There's people that's got 10,000 people sitting in a building that's lost as a hound without a tracking collar. Not hearing the Word of God. Hearing 3 points that make you a better person. Or talking about stuff that doesn't matter. Let it begin with us. And then when we see for ourselves, we can get a glimpse of the resurrected Christ. We can get a glimpse of that Holy Spirit working in us. Well, how's that happen for you, Bob? Tell me about how that happens for you. It happens for me just the fact that I'm standing here, that I'm not dead in the ground, that God preserved me through drugs and alcohol and all the other things that I was involved in throughout my life. It happens to me when a man in prison is doing life without parole comes up and says, I want what you got. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, thank you. It happens to me when somebody like Jim that met me, I've met Jim before he was out of his mama's womb. I knew Jimmy when he was a bubble in his mama's belly. And I got a lot of Jimmys because they saw a difference in me. I didn't look like a preacher. I didn't act like a preacher. I didn't talk like a preacher. I rode a Harley Davidson. I had hair down to my long ways down. And I didn't act like everybody else. But I was on fire. Because I knew what I was. And what I was wasn't much good. Wasn't much count. And I would have been dead. I'm 65 in a piece. I would have been dead a long time ago. But a man came into my life and introduced me to the resurrected Christ. And it changed my life. We got mentors like that sitting in here today. If your grandbabies ain't in here, if your sons and daughters are lukewarm, then we need to figure that out. Because Jesus Christ said, that ain't good. That lukewarm, that ain't good. It's not that they're not saved. We've taken that scripture and just massacred it. It's because it just ain't tasty. It's got a sulfur smell to it. It's not that cool drink of water or that warm drink of water that we're after. You know, I want my coffee hot and I want my water cold. I don't want nothing lukewarm. That's what we've got today in the American church. Not just Walnut Grove. Churches all around us. Oh my goodness, folks. We've got to turn this into a house of prayer. We've got to ask God to come into our lives in a mighty way. Forgive. Repent. I've had to repent. I repent every day. There's stuff that I do that I'm not proud of. There's stuff that I think that, oh my goodness. Thank the Lord, nobody can read my mind. I'm serious. I have to repent. But God is faithful. He's going to do a mighty work for some people sitting in here. I don't know what it's going to be yet. But that's what it looks like for me. So, we're going to go through the book of James. Verse by verse. It gets real good. This week, if you want to do something, start reading through the book of James. You can do it in about 20 minutes if you're slow. I mean, it's really easy to read. But think about it. Think about the words. Think about what James is saying. Remember the context in which James is writing it. Walmart's closed down in Jerusalem. There ain't no Costco or Best Buy. They all are Whole Foods. Or there ain't no food trucks running nowhere. They can't get anything in the village. They can't get anything. They've done tore down the temple. Now, not in James's life. The Bible don't tell us this, but I thought this was a really cool. I don't want to skip over this. I thought this was really cool. Just got to find it. Eusebius of Caesarea was the bishop of Caesarea. In AD 314, he wrote about James's life. He recorded it. First recording we have of it, of James's life. There's a whole bunch of stuff that, if we had everything that happened, like they say, if we wrote everything that Jesus did in his lifetime, it would take volumes. So it's not in the canon of Scripture. But Eusebius wrote that James, during this rebellion, was thrown from the Temple Mount in AD 62. When you see the Temple Mount, a lot of the sides of the Temple Mount are high walls. He was thrown off one of those walls. He hit the ground. And the people that were washing clothes down there in the creek, took stones and killed him. He was an old man by this time. He was the leader of the church. And the Jews were having an uproar against the Christians, and at the same time having an uproar against the Romans. At the same time, they were starving to death. God's chosen people. Jesus had predicted this calamity twice in the New Testament. He had told us about it. So read through the book of James this week. It's a great book. It gets better. It's not all doom and gloom. It gets better. Well, it gets better for some people. It gets worse for some people. But read it this week. Come back next week. Hopefully the Lord will return before next week. Amen. Come on. I got a hand. Yes, sir. And then I'll go take this up with James. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to have eternity. I mean, it's going to be a line, man. It's going to be like Jimmy's food truck. It's going to be a line. You're going to have to wait to get there. But I'm going to ask him, man, how was it to grow up with Jesus? What was it like when you turned that corner and there he stood when he come up out of that tomb? Oh, my goodness, folks. I hope you get it. I'm excited about it. And I never want to close a sermon without offering the opportunity, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know this risen Christ, come talk to me after service. If you've grown cold and you want to reignite that fire, you want to rededicate your life, oh, Bob, I hear what you're saying, but I ain't sure. I don't know if I buy into that. That's okay. Or if you're on fire and you just don't know where to let that fire burn, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But come talk to me. This is not about an altar call for me. It's not about, you know, how you come up here in front of everybody and embarrass yourself. I'm not into that. I don't think that's how it starts. As we work out our salvation, it's not talking about whether your salvation is secure. I believe it or not, that once you're saved and that regeneration starts, you can't stop it. I believe that's what the Word of God tells me. But you can hinder it. You can quench the Spirit. You cannot be obedient. You know why I know that? Because that's how I live most of my life. That's not unusual. We're flesh. Paul says, man, I wish I wouldn't do some of the things that I do. And some of the things I want to do, I don't do. And if Paul had that problem, Chad's got that problem. We all got that problem. Every one of us. So come talk to me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to go into your word. We thank you for your little brother, James. We thank you for that word, Father. We thank you for these people that came out today to hear this message. Father, we ask that you go with us this week. We ask that you keep your hand upon us. If there's any sick among us, let us pray for them. If there's anyone that needs a special touch, if there's anyone that has a need or a question, bring it to our attention, Lord. We thank you that you answered prayer this week, that our brother Gary is back, Father. We ask that you be with the ones that are suffering with COVID this morning, that they be healed, that it won't linger on, there won't be any side effects, there won't be any reason for them not to join us in fellowship, Father. And until we meet again, Father, use us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, guys. Oh, my.